What's this?
Could you lower the screen?
Lower it means...
I can't see you.
This way?
Yeah. Better, yeah. Better. Excellent.
Excellent? Okay. Shalom Reb Nasu, I didn't see you last week. Louder?
No, we need it too.
It's as loud as it can get.
It's maybe my audio setting is off.
No, your audio setting is fine.
It's not coming out of here, it's coming out of your laptop. Is
yeah.
Is the audio level fixed also?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Where are we here? Where is this? Whose place is this? What?
Nelson's office.
That's Nelson's office back. Okay, good. So, I mean, there's a famous Chassam Sofer that he says that he found many times that when I learned Kesidron, the Nyona Yema would come into play over here. So, Lemaisa, the Ramchal himself doesn't have much on Hanukkah. It says come up nothing in his more open sfarim. He has a little bit in his kavanas, which are very heavy Kabbalah dicks, not for us. But in this perik itself in Vav that we're holding, there's really what to talk about. Hine, ha'odin baruch hu mashgiach tomid al kol briyosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach on all his briyos. U'mekaimom u'menahalim kefi atachas v'avur ibram. And He keeps them going, he keeps them existing, and keeps them going with the tachlis that he created for them. There's an awful lot. The problem with these, with a lot of times these inyanim and the Ramchal especially, is that it sounds so what you expect, that you don't really feel there's any much chiddush here. I mean, what are you saying? It's all about Kachpar. Kachpar is everything, always, all the time. Basically, that's what he's saying. It's nothing here that seems to us. He's saying it two extraordinary things. And I want to stop on both nekudas. First of all, the word hashgacha, and we spoke about this, it's loaded because it means different things in different places. But I want to focus more on the second part. The first point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the existence of the Bria itself is not something that can ever be internally satisfied. In other words, we cannot exist because we exist. Famous Marshal Nefesh HaChayim and everyone else, that when you build a table, it's the hallmark of a good carpenter that when he walks away, the table still stands. But when you're talking about Bria, then the Etzem Mitzias, so let's give an example of something that we could think of. When a person is dreaming, so the minute he stops dreaming, the dream disappears, because the dream is an embodiment of my Ratzon. It's not a Bria b'fnei atzma, it's kule me. So the Bria itself is kule HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's kule Hashgacha, and it's kule HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ongoing, the Bria is an ongoing kiyum. I want to, I guess, align a certain a belief that was prevalent that in Aristotle, and the Rambam spoke a lot about it. One of the Rambam's ikrim is the emunah in kadmus habayri, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is primary. In his Zmor Nevuchim, he elaborates more that Aristotle held not like that. And the Rambam, in Zmor Nevuchim, he hints and he says, even if I would be moided to Aristotle, all my other points would still stand. Doesn't elaborate how or what, but in one of the Ikrei Emuna V'Yid is that things themselves don't have a key without that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is primary. Let's understand the Nafkemina. If I say, if there are things, for instance, if there was an existing company before I came along, and I was hired to be this, that, or the other thing, then my resignation or my walking away should not affect the company in any way. It doesn't make any sense. The company was there before me. I was there. Maybe I did a phenomenal job. Maybe I added a lot of value, but it's still there. If, let's say, I am the company, I opened a little candy store someplace. So when I leave, there's no candy store because I am the candy store. If the candy store is there before and I'm an employee, so then the pshad is the thing is there before and I'm a piece in its world. Let's talk about this in two areas that I think are just so important, because today it's one of these areas certainly has become extraordinary parrots. Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu defy the laws of nature? So the Aristotle and Greece and Greek philosophy at its best said, there is nature is something that is such a metzias that it's not possible to say that something could be not. You can override nature. For instance, gravity makes things fall down. I'm strong and I can throw a ball, and it defies gravity for that time. But I didn't undo gravity. I can overcome. I can overpower. We push and pull and move things in resistance. That's fine. But to say that there could be a matzav where gravity doesn't pull anymore, Aristotle said, is an absurdity. Let's go to the heart of it in terms of in terms of what philosophy was about. For philosophy to work, and philosophy I'm talking about the kloliyus of chachma, there are two things that need to be in place, or else there's no philosophy and no science, nothing. One is muskolus rishaynos, and the second is higoyon. In other words, there are axioms, and axioms are that are core realities that can't be shaken, and then there are processing logic where I can take from reality A and I can extrapolate B in ways that are in ways that are hechreach. So when you have, let's take geometry, which is ideal in this sense, but when you have geometry, geometry works. I need two things for geometry to work. One is that my axioms are accepted as emes lamitoi, and it's emes because it's emes and no way around it. And two, that the statements, if A then B, and if B then C, and C then D, that's also emes. That the logic is a metzias. One of the entertaining things about, you know, Alice in Wonderland book and so on, is the absolute absurdity of situations that are Moshe Kapoya. In other words, someone was able to fantasize a world that's that everything is Moshe Kapoya. It's very, very hard for us to do that. And that's why there's a sort of a charm to it, that everything seems to go the wrong way, and people say things that are utterly ridiculous. It's fun. It tests by us our sense of reality. But without those two things, Chachma doesn't exist. Let's give an example where we can see it. In chemistry, you expect things to be like that. And when a person works in a laboratory with chemicals, he expects things to be exact, and you know, anything that goes wrong is a sign that something was wrong, and there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Let's take something like psychology. In psychology, I can make statements that are most of the time right. I can say certain realities. I can say every person needs X, Y, and Z. But then I find people that just don't seem to fit it. And it's not easy. And sometimes you give a tarot, sometimes not. It doesn't work the same way that chemistry works. And that's why psychology, for a lot of people, is not a real science. It's something, it's more of an intuitive feel than a science. It's sort of a sense about things, because the fact, there are no clear axioms. I can say most people like to be noticed. Occasionally there's a Meshuggah that doesn't like to be noticed. Most people want to be heroes. Occasionally there's a Meshuggah that wants to be a villain. Most people will do X, Y, Z to get this. Some people will not. And that's why it makes it very, it's on the line, on the divide between what we would call Chachma to something else. In the Greek mindset, and in the mindset of people, that the Her Chachma, as being Metzius, you cannot have something come before that. And therefore, God, I can believe in God, he could be strong, he can be powerful. He could have made the world, not a problem. The one thing he couldn't have done is, he couldn't have done things, he couldn't have made gravity that repels instead of attracts. That's impossible. It's the Metzius itself is like that. There's a fascinating tshuva. The Rashba, Rashba doesn't answer it. Somebody asks him, I think Rav Penina Abadarshia, I'm not sure if he asked him or someone from like it asked him, can HaKadosh Baruch Hu make that 2 and 2 should equal 5? Can HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a triangle that's square or something like that? So he doesn't answer. It's just brought in the tshuva to Rashba. It's brought as part of something. So the truth, the Gufishal Inyan, it's not easy. The problem with it is, you have to separate semantics from facts. I mean, could I say that a triangle should have 4 sides? Well, I don't know what that means. Yes, we could have called this triangle, this and this quadrangle. That's not a question. That's strange. So by definition, three things is three sides, which means it has X amount of angles. I don't know. Legufishly, I'm not sure. But there's a fascinating sefer, the Radziner in his Akdama to Soyed Yesharim. They've reprinted it. Wrote a long maimer against it, and he says, of course, and he brings Rias, and it's interesting how he tackles it. He says it says that miut was machzik as a meruba. The Gemara says there are a few times that miut was as a meruba. Everybody stood between the badim. Klai Yisrael was imdin tzfuf v'shtaf v'revachim, and so on. So he says, so that means that, let's say you have 100 square feet worth of people, and they fit into a space that's 10 square feet, so 10 is bigger than 100. That was the way he is. In other words, the lemaisa de kenef gemina, you certainly can play around with. That's the way he talks about it. But getting back to Etzem Inyan, we're talking here about a very, very deep point of reality. What attracts a person to science is, a person likes to have a handle on the Metzius. What's the Metzius of the Bria? What, you know, get me the fundamentals of it, and so on. I don't need to know all the Prat or any of that, but a person wants to hear what are the Yisaitis of the reality around him. Any person who's a Shtikl Da'at Bar Das, that's what he wants. So it has to boil down to one or two things. Either there is a Metzius in the world, or our entire Metzius is a Ratzon Hashem, which means it could be very different. When I make a game, and I make a chess game, in other words, when if I develop a chess, a new type of chess, a new chess, so the rules are what I want it to be. So our deher is that the Kiyum HaOlam is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says this in his Mamashin's first piece about what he describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. He says that our Kiyum, our Metzius is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's Mikoyach Amitus Metziusoi. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we could imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzius becoming bottle, our Metzius would not have a Metzius. So the Yevonim in Chachma, in a most fundamental of ways, the belief in Kadmus was not just a Mikradika argument about it. It went to the heart of understanding what is the core reality. So Lu Yitzur HaKadosh Baruch Hu had. So let's go back to the table again. If I make a table and I wanted that the table should be strong, but as time goes on, the table becomes weak. So it's now weak. If it begins to become old or whatever the table, I don't have any bilus on it anymore. In my dream, as long as I want the table to be strong, it's going to be strong because the table in my dream is me. It's nothing else. So in a most shirishtik way, on the first of it, on the mekaimam, is a very very clear distinction. A fundamental distinction in how we understand the understand. A Maimon Muska about this point of Kadmus, which I feel very strongly about, is it's become very popular to talk about natural morality, that there are things that are wrong be'etzim, hurting someone, killing somebody, paining someone, and so on. What? So can HaKadosh Baruch Hu do things that go against the grain of natural morality? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to kill somebody who's innocent. So there's now a trend in modern Orthodoxy, or not modern Orthodoxy, open Orthodoxy, which of course not, and therefore it forces them to do anything between to say things that are outright kafira or lamdash kafira, but still wrong. The idea that I can, that there's a morality that came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes against this point of Kadmus. And here it's much stronger. What's morality? Morality is what I feel, what human beings feel is wrong. What to do, you know, two men getting married was once upon a time thought to be terribly wrong. Today it's terribly good. So it's what people think. Morality is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in the world as good and bad, and he gave us instinctive feelings. So causing pain in general, everybody feels, is not good. But that feeling, there are plenty of animals that don't care very much about causing pain. No animal feels terrible at causing pain. There's no such thing as rachmanis by an animal. Yeah, on your own little chayala, you feel bad because that's an instinct. But there's no rachmanis on something else. The Nazis felt that rachmanis is an impediment to the world. You know, it makes you waste resources and everything else on people whose survival takes away from the world. So that was what they believed, Be'emunah Shleima. So both of these points, that the very kiyum of the world is rooted on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the two areas, the Greeks, the idea of laws of nature being a rutzen was the opposite of what science leads to live on as an independent entity. As a player in philosophy, is there are things in the world that exist be'etzem. I can identify them, I can catalog them, and then I can say many things lishitasam. You know, if this works here, this works here, this works here. But to say that this is only a bubble inside a bigger metzias was something that was not it's an akira of what science is. That's one. Two, and then he says umenahalom kefiat tachlis shebavurei bra'am. The second one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with a tachlis, and there is a constant direction in the world. There's a constant moving of the pieces to get to a certain point. This is the Ramchal's biggest site that, you know, he speaks about. I'm sorry, what?
Isn't like the Shevitz is wearing Nayah?
Yeah.
Isn't that what's called universal morality? I mean, it's also driven by the Rabbanu Shalom, but there's a difference between murder according to the laws of Shevitz v'Noyach and murder according to the Torah, right? There are nafkaminas.
Correct.
So the Rabbanu Shalom also set something called morality.
Well, the Rambam's
divine law, but it is a separate entity.
So since the Rambam says to be called a ger toishav, the Rambam says in Furish, you need to accept the Zayin Mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh, not because you feel it's good. In other words, if it starts with me or my recognition of certain Yesaidis, that's not Zayin Mitzvahs Benedach. The word mitzvah means tzivuyim. So I can tell you the seven things I feel bad about, but that would not be called tzivuyim anymore, and therefore they can't be mitzvahs. And the raya is, there are gray areas when things become, when things come. Certainly, killing somebody seems to be across the board, but worshiping Avodah Zarah, what's wrong? I feel very spiritual, uplifted. I have a love of Avodah Zarah, and I worship him. And what's wrong? It's very hard. You know, people always think of Avodah Zarah, so they immediately mention Moloch and the terrible things. Okay, so non Moloch Avodah Zarah. There are plenty of harmless Avodah Zarahs that have Buddhas all over the place, and they're very nice, and they're, you know. By pointing out certain bad things, it is, and yet Avodah Zarah is one of Zayin Mitzvahs. It's the first one, no matter what.
According to Rambam, if a guy keeps Shevitz v'Noyach, not because of Baruch Hu,
he doesn't have a din of Eger. The Rambam says he doesn't have a din of Eger Taishev. Very.
No, but does he get punished?
I don't know if he gets punished. I don't think he gets punished, because if not over Averis, the Zayin Mitzvahs are Isurim. So. If he doesn't do that Averis, for whatever reason, he didn't do it, he doesn't get punished for it. But
it's like the only thing Shulei Lishma by a God.
Right, but Ger Toishev has a certain mindset with Tzuvah Lachese, this, that. All the other things won't apply. I don't think he'll get punished. If he doesn't steal, he doesn't steal. Mali, what he doesn't steal for. But as far as this goes, I don't know. That's the... So he says, yes.
Rambam, when he brings the halacha, he says, "Ein zol mechasidu masayolam, ela mechachameha."
Yeah.
So there's a shot on the gears of lo mechachameha, but I think the authentic gear says, "Ela mechachameha."
Right.
It seems that the Rambam is giving importance or value to.
Correct, because the person that is oimed on these inyanim, it's something which is a. There's one thing, if being oimed on emes makes me a chacham. But it doesn't make me a good person. I have to respect the fact that you came to this achlata. But at the end of the day, if it's your achlata, what you're doing is what's comfortable for you, not what is emes in a certain objective way. It's a very, very it's a huge difference. If I tell you I'm doing this because I think it's right. So basically, it's just like you say that you like the color yellow and white because you like yellow and white. That's fine. If I say I like, you know, being nice to people, kind to people, so I'm telling you something. You know, some people like going to the beach. Some people like going and helping people that are sick or whatever it is. But if I tell you, I have realized that I'm obligated to, and the nafkamina will be on a day that it's not so pleasant to walk outside and bring blankets to people in the cold or whatever it is. It's a hard day. It's cold. I don't have much money. Whatever it is, if I'm doing it when I like doing it, then it's under the same category as playing violin. It's nice, Baruch Hashem. It's a nice hakara. It shows a chashivas in a person, but it doesn't show a kabbalas oil. And for us, toiv is defined by the kabbalas oil that I must. It obligates me. It's before I'm here. Let's flesh that out along the lines I was saying. What I like starts with me. Before I was here, the colors meant nothing. I am here now, so this is a nice color, this is not a nice color. I like this color sometimes, I like that color time. I like, in the following order, I like drinking beer, and I like helping poor people, and I like this. These are all about me. And if I don't like it, if I do like it, the word mechaya doesn't exist, the word tzivu doesn't exist. What exists is my likings. So a nefesh, that's somebody who loves violin, can be understood to be a more refined person than a person who loves football and beer. We can say that there's a more cheshva nefesh, but I'm not going to say that the person is a good person be'etzim. He's not a mitzvah. He happens to like good things, so that says something about the person. To say that I must do it, no matter what, is a whole different class of understanding what I am and who I'm mishav myself to, and my mitzias.
Well, it's still be mechalik that there are certain reasons why someone do something which would be, I guess, called universal morality because they feel it's the right thing. But you could also say, I'm doing it because I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do that. The Rambam, when he says Chassidim Masa'ilim, is only if he's doing it because there's a Tzidim in Kimoisha.
Right.
What if one would say, no, I have these feelings because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put ingrained in...
So, you know what? I don't know. That's great. It's interesting. I would say that would be closer. Obviously closer to something like Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know. I don't know how to be done exactly. I hear the middle ground that you're putting down. I don't have a hagdar of it.
Isn't this yes. called mitzvah sechlias? I mean, seichel also has Hashem created seichel, no?
Yes.
What is that definition of mitzvah sechlias?
Okay, so good point. Let's talk a little bit about this. It is an important topic, and it's something to talk about, especially since today. Let's give a mashal. Imagine I see somebody who has a shtickle rash on his hand, and I don't take him, don't rush him to the hospital. I don't say anything. I don't do anything like that. And then it's found out later that this person is some deadly machlets or whatever it is, and I was negligent and not take him to a hospital. So, I don't think someone can fault me for it. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a dermatologist. You know, I didn't know. Let's say I use the same excuse, I see somebody's gasping for breath, or there's blood gushing out, and I come along and say, I didn't learn medicine, I didn't study medicine, my field is engineering. I didn't know. So we'll say, you know, these are things you should have been makir. And if you're not accurate, you're missing a chunk of your brain somewhere. There's something about it. Rabbi Bechaya says that Anshei Sdoim were held at fault. He says, why? They didn't have a tzivu, they didn't have a novi, they didn't have Torah, and so on and so forth. So he says, mitzvah sichlius. If a person is lacking in it, he doesn't fear it quite, but the point is, then you're lacking a moral screw in your head. Because you should be makir those things that this is a tzivui because of the way it's built into us. When I say that you should take someone to the hospital when he's bleeding or he's gasping for breath, it's not because you feel uncomfortable. Something in a normal seichel should say, I know that when you don't breathe for a few seconds, you're gone. So what's happening here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a chelak of our seichel that can be makir to some degree toiv and ra and the bria. But the question goes, how do I define what I'm being makir? If I define it, there is something in the bria that's bigger than me, and that's called toiv. And some of, if I'm lucky, I'll hear straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tayag Mitzvahs and Shas, and know all the Pratim, Pirtei Pratim of Toiv. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell me, you know, or I can feel and say, Ochein, you know, Manoira Makum Azein Zek Vezel Kim. It must be that Britzich is a terrible thing. It must be that not helping a sick person or a starving person is terrible. But at the bottom line, I recognize it as a toiv that's bigger than me. Not because I was speaking once to somebody who Lailena went off the derech totally. The guy was actually a Satmar Chassid and very smart, very, very smart person. Big Yad Kabbal also, whatever, I don't know, story. And I when I asked him, like, basically, he's a person who actually helps a lot of people, gives a lot of stuck and is very helpful to people. So he told me, because I enjoy it. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy being nice to people. So basically, you know, it would mean, I believe that he's not saying damas with that. You know, I believe Yisrael, Pishchot to Yisrael, him, there's a liquid there. But lefi what he was verbalizing, lefi what he's articulating, it means that its value is because I like it. So I'm not holding morality as something. So the conscience that we have, that every human being has, is an aver that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That, let's take a mashal. When I see something with my eyes, so, and I estimate, a child from a very early age has a sense of distance. He can jump to something and his muscles will get the sense of distance that his eyes see and so on. You know, it's quite early, and some Baal Chaim have it mamish at birth. So, iboyelahu. It's not the pshat that the child says, I happen to like jumping this far because that's how my feet work and my eyes work. What's really happening is there's an objective reality. My eyes and muscles are built, are primed to be able to gauge it. So in the capacity, when I ask myself, what color do I want to paint my room? I there's no objective reality. It's what I like. And I like, it should be white, it's white. I like it should be yellow, it's yellow. Zero. When I ask myself, how much should I jump to get over that thing and not to over jump? I'm not asking myself what I like. I mean, I'm still talking about objective reality, but I have myself a chush, like we have a chush for many things, to evaluate how much will it get there. And therefore, it requires a hakara that there is a toiv that's before me and beyond me. The conscience I have, the sichlis that I have, means that my seichel can feel it. Just like in the electromagnetic wave spectrum, there are parts of it that are totally oblivious to me. There are parts of it that I can see, and I can see it, and I could tell you by translating the color into a wavelength. There are parts of it that if I have a radio going, I can hear it. And there are parts of it that I would be cooked if I sit next to it because it's microwave. So in this range of waves, that's an objective reality. Some of them, I have chush that can feel it. Some can feel better, some can feel less. In colors and certain sharpness, I can be very oimid on it. In certain areas and fringe areas of colors, where because I could feel maybe that something, a shadow light, but I can't do more than that. Some I can feel the heat. So Toiv and Ra are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us chushim and evarim to be able to sense it, but that's it. So it's a gauge for an objective outside reality, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas the Greeks were koyfen that, and the Greeks said there is a reality that doesn't include any ratzon. And let's look at the second one also. And I think those are the two very important nekudas. And the Kuzari talks a lot about this, and he makes this point on his way, but it's the same point. The second one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menayel the world kefi tachlis shebavurei bra. The Greeks tainet one way or another, different ways. Their tainet was, if you tell me HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a ratzon, it means he's missing something, and if he's missing something, then he's not sholem. It's a tarat de sasra. I can't say Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you. The Greek turns to me and says, I don't say something. You tell me Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalom and he wants nothing and he needs nothing. If you need nothing, you don't want anything. You know, for my kids once told me in Eretz Yisrael, they came home, they told me a joke that it was a joke around this, that a teacher was once trying to teach his class about his tapus bemuot. So he asked the kids, he told the kids, no, everybody has something that they need. You know, tell me what it is that family needs, and you'll see that everybody has needs. So one guy said, you know, we need to have our roof fixed. It's leaking and we can't get it fixed. And the second one says, we need to find a job for my father. And the third one says, I need to find a shidduch for a sister. And everyone needed something. She came to one girl and she asked the girl, what do you need? We don't need anything. She said, it can't be. Everybody needs something. No, we don't need anything. How can you be so sure that you don't need anything? She said, well, my parents told me so. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, we have 11 kids, and my mother gave birth to triplets. And my father said, oh my gosh, that's all I needed. So we have all our needs on the, on, you know, I don't, we don't have any more needs. In a bit, it sounds even better. Rak zayiti tzarich hashav. So my kids speak Hebrew. Right? We lived there as well. So zekol mashin tzarich hashav. But the person's it's a question that doesn't have an answer because it goes into the same gedurim of malefanim. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have no answer. We do know that the sheirish of the bria is a ratzon. We call it ratzon, and a ratzon by its nature is a tachlis. A ratzon defines where is this headed to. What is it? What is wanted from it? So the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the tachlis habria, where it's going to, and therefore there's a constant nekud of ratzon the bria that is moving the bria to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it, and that's hashkacha. Hashkacha is the ongoing movement of the world in a more optimistic way to move it towards becoming the world that it ought to be. And this was something denied hotly. And the Kuzari writes this point, this is the point that he talks about a lot, where people said, he said, Aristotle's God is not a personal God. He has no wants or desires from the Bria, and suffic if he even knows what goes on in the Bria. Aristotle's God is a scientific reality of sorts. It's a nekuda that needs to be filled in to make sense out of the bria. But to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu has ritzon is from the bria, adrabah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mereima me'al and beyond it and so on and so forth. So the hashgacha, the ongoing umenahalom kefiat tachlis avurim b'ram, Kadosh Baruch Hu is moving the world towards a tachlis. That's the side of Ashkacha. Now, the Ramchal speaks in Das Tfunis, that's his central theme, that there is a Hashkacha that is simply seen as a response to us. And there's a deeper Hashkacha that, despite the response to us, or better said, irrelevant of our response, it is going to where Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it to go. There used to be, I don't know if it's still around, when I remember different kufis, they had playwrights that came up with plays that worked like this. At certain critical junctures, they would have like a scene, and then they would ask the audience, would you like him to be killed or not to be killed? Would you like this to happen or that to happen? And it's as if the audience could dictate what should be. And the bigger chachma was to get the play at the end to be what you want it to be. You know, no matter what, the person writing the play is trying to get it to somewhere. But so it takes a lot of chachma to incorporate, quote unquote, your suggestions, and then to and then still make it come out. But that's hashkacha of what he calls the Ramchal from Derech HaYichud, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechaven the world to come to its tachlis. If we're fortunate, the our input becomes part of that. If we're not fortunate, it becomes, you know, it gets shunted, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon dominates no matter what, despite the illusion of us being able to do it. Okay, so Kapanim. So in this one line, we saw two very, very important yesaidis. One is that the Hashgacha includes, one is Kiyum HaBriya, and we don't talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu was once part of Bayer Lamas, but he's machzik the worlds, he's buried the worlds as they are. Secondly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving the world to become what he intended it to become, what his Ratzin is, and that's an ongoing process. It's not static only. It's things are changing. Things are moving in a certain direction, and that's the second part of Hashgacha. Any questions?
Yeah, Shiva spoke about natural morality.
Right.
If the Torah does represent the ultimate peak of morality, how does that stem with Lefnei Meshiras Hadin?
So there are a few different types of Meshiras, but let's take a simple point. Torah was given to us, the Ramban says in three places at least, that Torah was given to us as Pratei Dinim and as Klolim. The Pratei Dinim are Mechayev us in their Prat. So, Lamashal, Pratei Dinim are Mechayev us to do exactly as it says. And then there's a Klal, Kedoshim Tiyu. In Kedoshim Tiyu, there's a chiyuv to make as much kedusha as they can. So the chiyuv is not on particular protei ha'maisim, because we can't have that of a chiyuv, but the chiyuv is that a person needs to build his life kedusha dik. Vasisa yashav atoiv. I actually wrote about this. It'll be out, I don't know, in a few weeks, and then there'll be a new dialogue at some point. So I wrote an article about the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. And this is the point. In Torah itself, there is dinim, and then there's klolim, that they obligate us, but they obligate us in a different way, not on the detail as much as in the whole picture. So most of Lefnei Meshiras Hadin works along those lines. When I'm Lefnei Meshiras Hadin giving a person money that I don't owe him, that's because I deherit as a kiyum asis yashav atoiv. If quote unquote Lefnei Meshiras Hadin, I sit with three overcoats in the sun. It's not Lefnei Meshiras Hadin. It's nothing. Lefnei Meshiras Hadin is in the world where there's klolim, but no pratim to fill up those klolim. You'll take a look. If I'm machmen more shita, so sure as Hadin, that shohar is mechayev me that if I have X amount of shitas versus Y amount of shitas, I can be makel. But there's a mitzvah of yiras Hashem with a caution and stuff like that. I fulfill that through being choishish for the shitas. But it has to fall in a framework of maisim toivim. It is not just to do something I'm obligated. You see yourself. I mean, there are plenty of things I can do that I'm not obligated. I can sit with a bunch of overcoats and be uncomfortable. There's nothing about that in any way is Lefnei Meshiras Hadin. Officially means it's not in the din, but it's in the big picture of Shabbai. So the chiyuv and choshen mishpat, the chiyuv that basically moitzi the mammon is X. The world of toiv and choshen mishpat is vasisa yashav atoiv.
There's a chanish in Munah B'tachim, the end of Tyrus, I don't think it's in the Sefer Munah B'tachim, but it's separately. He talks about the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always existed, and the taino that how could you have something which wasn't created by something else.
Right.
And I think he tells through the concept of 2 plus 2 equaling 4, and that the hypotenuse of a triangle is longer than any one of the other sides.
Right.
He's saying that's the verse M'chuyav Min HaSeichel or something to that extent, and saying the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also something.
it's so he means to say we need to, in other words, we axioms can, we understand ourselves that everything needs to reach a point where I'm not going to go beyond the point. There's somebody here, there's a physicist who lives here, a young fellow in his mid-30s. He works for the, he explores black holes for the U.S. government. I tell him they should put him on the finance committee. But he's a very fine, he's a good person. And he actually instituted, they have like lectures once a month where they ask a different scientist in the area to speak out in a flaws abore. So he spoke about black holes, he spoke about symmetry, a very interesting person, nice person. So what he once said, we were talking about it, and he said, you know, physics is an unending series of angels pushing each other. Like he says, I'm thinking, there's why is X, Y, and Z happening? And it leads me to P, Q, and R. And once I get and understand exactly how P, Q, and R are leading to X, Y, and Z, my next assignment is where's P, Q, R come from? And Be'emes, he said, it's not going to end. There's no place to say, oh, now I understand, because the question is always there. So there is the Musik Muskolus Rishainus. I need to start at a certain point and then work from that point. There's more to talk about this. It's there's a lot to talk about, actually. But I'll come on, but at least for the new name, it's enough. Okay. What about next? So next week we'll assume we're off, right? It's Hanukkah. And okay, so Bez Hashem in 2 weeks Wednesday, like regular Seder,
yeah.
Okay, if I have occasionally there's a Wednesday that doesn't work, is Tuesday a reasonable night for Eilam? Or if there's an alternative? If there's an alternative night to Wednesday, then Tuesday is as good as Wednesday. Okay, fine. So it gives me a little more occasionally. Okay, because occasionally, tomorrow I'm going to Passaic, actually. I go much less now, but if I do go, it's on a Wednesday. I don't know, for some reason, the quiz is Wednesday, so that's... okay, good. Freilich Hanukkah, Lichtig Hanukkah. And tell me your names again. I'm going to get it down there. What's your name? I'm sorry. You, yeah.
Yishai Bain.
Ah, so you're Bain. You're the youngest Bain, or yeah. Not. What?
Yeah.
You're the little one, okay. And you? Whichever, you.
Jacobson.
What?
Jacobson.
You're Jacobson. Okay. The Chavetz Chaim Jacobson.
No. I'm the Rishi Jacobi grandson of all.
Okay. The Rishi Jacobi grandson. Okay. Good. And you're?
I'm Moshe Gershenfeld.
Okay. Good. So I was gonna. It'll go on me. That's all. I just.
One more.
Okay. You're?
Ini.
Okay.
Learned in Slangers. I don't know.
You learned where?
Slangers.
Alright, so you're the one who learned with Nachum.
I'm a couple years younger. But.
Yeah, yeah, he told me, remember. Okay, Beseda. Good. Okay. Yeah.